Now, we're going to have another treat. You ready? You know, we don't go for great speakers in here. We go for people that talk from their heart. That young lady sang from her heart, didn't she? I never knew she could do that. Is that neat? So now, our gentleman that's going to share his thoughts with us tonight, I've known, well, I think we counted up 25 years? 26 years. And hi, honey. He's going to share his thoughts with us. And you know, I kidded about it when I met him all those years ago. He was one of those that carried a switchblade in his sock. Then I found I really wasn't kidding. He did. Yeah, didn't you? See that? And anyhow, he came and he was very quiet and a little bit dignified. About that much. And his son was just like 12 years old at the time, going to have his 12th birthday the next day. And he happened to run in front of a truck right out here in front of our church. And they carried him off in boy, I scared all of us. Carried him off up in the air and down to the hospital. And then Patty and I went to see him that evening. And Felice, you know, was just torn to shreds. But do you know that little boy went home next day? Can you believe that? Now let him tell you the rest of it. You remember, don't you, Jeff? So we'll let Daddy tell the rest of the story, because he's the one who's going to share his thoughts with us tonight. And that is the switchblade loser. He lost a switchblade. He might have swallowed it for all I know. But here comes Felice.
Thank you.
Oh, I get a hug.
You get a hug.
Woo! Woo! Don't we all miss that hug? Never want to miss
one. That one time that my son did get run over. The four-wheel drive hit him doing like 35, 40 miles an hour, and he went sideways, and the truck ran over his stomach, his rib cage, and all this. His head came up, hit the bottom, and he went to the hospital. The next day was his 12th birthday, and the next day he woke up singing happy birthday to himself, which is really cool. And then, but the healing, when Millie, Patty, they came down to the church, or the church to the hospital, and Joseph's laid up and all that. Joseph thought Millie was his grandmother, and he had black and blue across his ribs and his stomach. And so we did a healing circle, and about, kid you not, within 3 minutes, the black and blue was all gone. And the only thing that was left was the tire marks going across his stomach. And he, like we said, he woke up the next morning singing happy birthday to himself. He went home. His ankle got a hole in it the size of a silver dollar, and he weighed no more than 75 pounds, and if that much. And went all the way down to the bone. Doc said he's going to need some plastic surgery and all this other fun stuff. So I taught him how to meditate, and he came up with a scenario where these guys in the white hat came, and they took all the old pavement off, which was his dead skin, and they had another group come in that was with silver hats, and they laid the new pavement across it. And so 2 weeks later, I went back to the doc, and he said he's not going to need a skin graft or anything. That's healing up really nice, and he couldn't understand exactly how that came about. And so we just left it at that. for the next 6 months, I called him Speed Bump, though. Yes. Yeah, he still remembers that one, too. I'm sure he won't forget. What's that? He was in the service for a bit and went over and did like 6-7 years. 2 weeks after he got out of high school, and then 9/11 happened. Well, he got out of high school, then he went into service, and 2 weeks later, 9/11 happened. And so he spent a little time over there doing that and getting everything. Then he came back home. Had a little bit of working to do with him on that because he was a little tweaked in the head, we'll say. And so worked with him for a good 3 years. And then couldn't do any more. Then that's when the VA stepped in and really helped. I mean, the VA's been absolutely wonderful with him and everything, getting him back on track and online and everything else. He's staying with me right now. And that's good. I mean, we have a really good relationship. Very proud of him. Lots of love for him. He's going to turn out okay. I don't have to worry about him. And then I got him going in the, I'm writing a book called The Magic Slippers. And I'm having him go over and help me and all that so he puts his name in it too. And then that way with all the work from my grandparents that they left and all that, he can have a good foundation to start. And he's starting to step into this work too by doing that. And by going over helping with the book, he's starting to read all these books that I got and everything else and looking everything over. You go this way? So he'll step into this work and he'll do it as he gets maybe another 3-5 years and he'll step into it. He's really enjoying helping with the books, the CDs, because I have CDs from the seances from Trumpets, and they come in and it's direct voice from spirit, and I call it Timeless Wisdom from the Masters. And so putting all those down, he's helping me with that. So he's getting really familiar with the old school of way, spiritualism, and connecting with the new age of it. So he's learning to combine the two together, which is really nice. For what I had for this talk tonight, though, is Patty, I think a couple weeks ago, she gave a talk on with spiritualism. And so she got me going on this one. So this one's her fault. she's talking about spiritualism and when it became a religion. And that was in 1847. So spiritualism is 172 years old on that. It was with the Fox sisters. If you haven't read anything on them, I would suggest you get a book online or go buy the book with the Fox sisters. It's very interesting. Well, there she is. Don't talk to you today. Huntsville, New York. And they started off with the rapping on the walls, and that when they would come and ask questions, spirit would come in and actually rap on the walls, 2 for yes, 1 for no. And when I teach my classes and we do at the table, we actually have rapping inside the house, and the students get to ask questions, and spirits will come in, they'll knock on the wall. It's usually in the kitchen where they got. And a lot of times they think, is that Milo in there? I got a cat, but Milo's underneath the table because he loves to sit under there during class. Even when the table's going, the cat won't move for nothing. He loves that energy right in there. But so they come in with the kitchen and do the wrapping, and it's a lot of fun. It's endless on what spirit can do, what God can do to step in. Energy follows energy. It's that simple, it really is. So whatever you want to become, whatever you want in your life, energy follows energy. So you're getting some really good thing about it, getting that in, and all of a sudden you have maybe a thought that comes in and says, well, last time I did that, it didn't really work out, something. So you're bringing that energy in and counseling out the other energy that's on there. The first time I really got to understand about energy follows energy, it was, you mentioned with Gordon Burroughs, he was a good friend of the family. He wrote something like 500 spiritualist books. And then he started doing sermons when he was 13 years old. He passed away at 96. And so he's very well known back in Washington and New York and so forth and all that. But he told the story, my grandma was telling me this, that he was a fantastic physical medium. He did with the Trumpets. A lot of those tapes I got is with him and the Trumpets going up. And he said he studied for like 5 years, and he sat twice a week for 45 minutes to an hour. Because if nothing happens within an hour, it ain't going to happen. You might as well just go off and do something else. That's usually a time frame on that. But he said for 5 years, twice a week for 1 hour. And the fifth year he was doing it, and got up there and he says, you know what? I've been doing this for 5 years. Nothing's happened. I'm just going to put this away and go on to something else. And the minute he did that, the trumpet started rocking back and forth and then raised up some, because you don't have to be in deep trance to get the trumpet to raise or to raise up or to rock back and forth. And so what he came up with that was energy follows energy. It's like when we say our prayers and we're healing or prayers for itself, we want something and all that, and we're sending it out there. And then all of a sudden, nothing happens. So we send it out again. And then we send it out again. What's happened with the energy is you're sending the energy out. The universe wants to bring it in. But as you're sending it out, you're blocking it. So I always got one saying that, you know, say the prayers, say what you want, and then forget about it. Because it's going to show up. Everything that you ever prayed for, wanted, does show up in your life at some point in time. Why do some show up faster than others? Feelings, emotions, the desire for it, body, mind, and soul. So you may get things really fast. That's because you got all three elements. The most important element is feelings, emotions. That's what triggers it. That's what triggers it to bring it in from the universe, is feelings and emotions. But sometimes we really don't have that much for something that we want. And so we go, oh, I want that. Okay, get it whenever. And then 5 years down the road, it comes rolling in. But we always get what we ask for and what we pray for. Always. Energy follows energy. It really is that simple. The universe is energy. You're made of energy. And there was, I don't know why they always forget this one, but there's one saying that I just love, and it came from a master teacher. And it says, he says, these things I can do, you can do, and greater. Why is it that we always forget that one? And then we go into self-doubt, self-worth, whatever it is that's triggering that right at that time. And that's okay, because that's a learning lesson. That's what you're doing. You look at it and you see what it is. Okay, I got that one. Energy follows energy. It really is. So what I did was, because you triggered the different thoughts, and I wanted to go over on, you know, what is mediumship, who your teachers are, how to call on them. A lot of times, I don't believe heard anyone talk on this one, but going to express about the teachers, the roles they play, and how you can have them in your life to use and bless you, and to bring the things in your life that you want, because each one of those teachers are designed to help you with a certain whatever element in your life. Now, here's the other thing that people forget about. You have to give them permission or ask them to come in and say it's okay to come in, because God gave us that one thing, choice of free will. And sometimes I did this, I still do this sometimes. I go, what is it? You guys ain't coming, you ain't helping on us and all that. And they go, well, you didn't ask. I just expected them to. It doesn't work that way. You have to ask, because God gave us that choice of free will on that. And so remember that when you're asking for the angels, the teachers, and you got things going on in your life, ask them to come in and to help. I guarantee they will. And you'll feel their presence and that love. You come in and ask and just close your eyes and feel that that unconditional love coming in from these beautiful beings that have chosen to work with you. And a lot of times people forget how to who those teachers are and what role they play in your life. They can be, the teachers can be the Indians. A lot of times it's Indians because of where we live, Southern California, big Indians. You go to a different part of the country, it could be Buddha, Gandhi, different teachers. It's for that realm of element, we'll say, on that. So, and the way to get to know your teachers is, you don't want to go to a reader and ask the reader, say, well, you know, what's my big ending? What's my protector? Because I guarantee you, you'll go to 10 different readers, you'll get 10 different answers. And you get really confused on that. So what you do is you meditate on that one particular teacher. I had a rule that when I was doing it, I meditated for 7 days for one teacher. So I got to know them, because you're starting a new relationship. You got to find out what their energies are, what their vibrations are, how they come in with you. And part of that 7 days is part of my Catholic thing bringing up. That's the only thing I could figure on that one. 7 days of creation, 7 days with the teachers and spend with them. But you get to know them and you ask for the name and don't second guess the name because that's what you're getting. That's what you're receiving. I think a lot of them were not able to pronounce their names. And names are not important, but like I explained to my teachers one time, says it helps me to have a better connection with you if I can know the name. And they just, oh, okay. And then that's when I started getting the names and so forth. But meditation, if you don't do meditation, you will only go so far, bottom line. And you spend 15, 20 minutes meditating. If you say, I get too many things going in my mind, that you let those run through. You got to tire the mind out. And just let it run through and say, oh, that's interesting. Okay, let me go back here and start this again. And you get different thought patterns that come in. But meditation is so very important. Meditation, prayer. And then when someone does get the name of the teacher, and you don't know that person, then you know they're on the right track. Because there's a lot of people that will come out, and I've seen them before with all the teachers, and they come in, and they go, okay, come back next week, and I'll give you another name. Of course, more money for the person. And then the person comes up, well, I don't know about this. Well, then they charge. They keep them going and all that. So in this work, it's so important that when I teach, to teach people what I do so they don't have to go to other people to get their information. They learn how to get their information themselves because you are quite capable of receiving that information. This is a lot of times, do you have the faith to follow through on what you get? Do you have the knowledge to follow through? Are you scared to follow through on it? Oh, that can't be right because I don't want to do that. Trust yourself. Get to know your teachers and trust yourself. Know thyself. That is so very important to know thyself. That way you know what energies are coming in. That way you know when your teachers come in, you know which ones are coming in because they come in on a different vibration. Some of them come in on a different color. They come in when you want to talk to them. But to keep open-minded to it, and either, you know, with the eyes open or closed. Doesn't matter. I do a lot of times with the eyes closed, and then I'll go, you know what, seeing a few things, but I want my eyes open. I want to see. Start practicing that way. And you'll do open-eye meditation. Learn to develop by keeping the eyes open. Learn how to, this one's real, it's fun to do too. If you get a white wall and you have friends and have people over and you have one of them stand on that white wall and then have them step aside, their energy stays on that wall. You can actually see the outline of their energy and the different colors on that by doing that. That one's a lot of fun to do too. Because you get to see where the energy, the vibration on the person, and you have them just stand there like 2 or 3 minutes and then step aside and their outline of their aura will be there and you'll see the different layers of it. It's a lot of fun to do. You can do that with yourself. Have a mirror and that way you step away from it, you look in the mirror and you can see. But what I'd like to talk about tonight is I go a long way around the barn sometimes, but I do get to the front. What is spirit mediumship? A medium is one who is sensitive to the vibrations of the spirit and is able to convey messages and produce the phenomena of spirit. Difference between the readings between a psychic reading and a medium reading is you're given proof of loved ones that have passed, proof of death, and still alive. It's not death. The psychic reading is where they get to see the energy, and they get to see, and you go, oh, how'd they know that with that one? They just named off something he did that day or later on in the other day, and because they're seeing the energy of what you have, and that's a psychic reading that they're going into. The other thing, too, is are mediums born at birth, or can they be developed, or can you develop? A lot of times it used to be the old saying that where people would come up and they said, you know, I remember when I was 3 months old and da-da-da and all this, and they opened up, and that's when they opened up. And so they were supposed to be doing it. Well, thank God the change of thought has changed on that. Because you can develop on any of these lines that you want to. Now, is everyone supposed to do that? No. It's not your path. It's not your spiritual journey or lesson to be a physical medium, we'll say. But you can turn out to be an excellent healer. And then from there, everything else develops. My grandmother told me, because I used to love doing the table, and I was doing the table, doing different circles and so forth, and I went over there one night, and she says, you know, why are you doing the table so much? I said, because I enjoy doing it. Why don't you stop it? I said, I'm not going to stop it. She goes, yeah, you will. My people are going to talk to your people. I said, yeah, right. Okay. So I went and did a class, and the table didn't move. Yeah, we just flat. And then I went back to my grandmother the next day. And she sat on the other side of the table. I sat on one side, which was really cool because she was a trans media channeler, and teachers that would come in. And every day I went over there, we had a talk, and the teachers would come in and talk. She'd take her glasses off and so forth. And she said, I told you I was going to have my people talk to your people, not moving. She goes, you don't want to be known just for working the table and doing that, because there's so much more to it. You want to know the history of spiritualism, the do's and don'ts and so forth and all that. And she asked me, she says, I want you to pick one thing. I said, okay. And I said, I'll pick healing. Well, I looked at every duality did on healing, every thought pattern there was on it. But from doing that and following that one train of thought, everything else came into play because they're all connected. But see, we go out and we want to do different things. We want to try with the psychic, the medium readings, the table, the trumpet, whatever it may be, and we're jumping all over the place, scattering the energies. If you just focus, and one thing that you would like to do and to study on it more, no matter what it is, then you get your hands on any part of it and you study that. And I guarantee you, by doing that, all the others are going to come into play. And all of a sudden, it's going to start opening. And everything's going to start clicking. Guaranteed. It takes a lot of the confusion away. I had that for a while and I got really confused for like 8 months. Didn't know which way was up. Because they had all these people coming in and everything else. And then that's when she said, pick one thing. Okay, well, I like healing. For me, healing is the greatest ability, we'll say. Because what's a better joy than coming in and be able to help someone heal with God and whatever it may be, the C word, whatever it may be, and to see that person get healed from it and able to remove that from their life and to move on and to see their life change. To me, that's the greatest joy. So I picked healing on that. And yes, you can develop it. You don't need to be born. Some people are. But you want to study? Meditate. Everything comes in from meditation. You will only go so far on your work if you don't meditate. Meditation opens up the universe, literally. It opens up your eyes so that you may see. Find a meditation that works for you. There's literally thousands of them out there. Out of that, you can find one. And out of a 24-hour period, you can spare 15 minutes, a half an hour. Out of 24 hours. So we just some thought patterns on that. And, if they resonate with you, then use them. If not, I'd say get rid of them. There's too much out there. If it doesn't resonate with you, get rid of it. Go on to the next. Don't spend so much time on one thing because everyone else or someone else is doing it this way. Well, I got to do it this way and spend all that time and move on to something else. Because everyone resonates at a different speed. Everyone reads at a different speed when they do readings, when they do healings, when they do teaching. They come in and they hit a certain vibration that works for them. Don't do what someone else is doing and say, oh, I'd like to be like that person. And to get that going, learn, know thyself to be yourself. And how does the teachers work with you? It doesn't matter how they work with other people. It's how they work with you and what emotions, what feelings it brings up. And as you're doing this too, people come in, pay attention to where in the body you're feeling it. Very important, because a lot of people, they go in with the chakras and they just stay in that part. But you have different energies that come in and hit different parts of the body. You be aware of it and work with that energy, whether to work with it to make it expand, to remove it. But you have to pay attention to where it's at in the body. And then an easy way to do it, when if you want to just don't like that energy and all that, you go up. What I do is I visualize scissors. And I just go up and cut them, throw it away. Or you pull your energy back every evening. Because throughout the day, we got different thought patterns. And we got our energy spread all over the universe. How many times have you pulled your energy back? Or when you're done, you say, I feel really tired, I feel aggravated. I don't know why. Well, your energy is attached to a certain person or a certain thing. And so you're feeling it. It's a line, energy line that's feeding. So if it doesn't resonate with you, get rid of it. Life's too short to spend on time going through all that. Here are some different types of mediumship. The clairvoyance is a is a French word for clear seeing. This is where you see not with the regular eyes, but your third eye you see with it. And so if you're expecting to see with your physical eyes, don't. It's with the inner eye. And that's the reason why meditation is so important to do that. So you open up that third eye to see and to go into it. Not only go in the universe, but go into thyself, oneself, and know who you are. And whatever it is, don't feel bad about it. Because I guarantee you, all of us got something that's, oh my God, I don't want that. Don't worry about it. It's part of your growth. It's part of your spiritual journey. This earth plane is a school ground. It's designed for your spiritual growth. It's your world that you're designing. Sometimes we're in the classroom, we're studying. Other times we're on the playground, we're playing. Other times we get sent to the principal's office. But it's designed for your spiritual growth. Whatever that may be. Everyone has their own spiritual lesson, their own spiritual growth to go through, their own things to look at. And you have these beautiful teachers here to help and to guide us at a certain time when we ask, because we're in spirit, we're putting all this together with our teachers. And say, hey, would you come down and help me for like 70 seconds? Because over there is no time, and 70 seconds is like 70 years down here. I said, yeah, I got a minute or 70, 80 seconds for you. And then you design it to, your design is to, your blueprint, if you will, is to come in and say, okay, at this time, I want to have this ability come in. And I want to open up to this teacher. And so you're aware of that as you come in. Now, I'm not big on saying gifts, because for me, gifts is an expectation of something. These are abilities that you claim in your spiritual toolbox to come down and to use. They're yours. They're not a gift. They're your abilities that you set up in the universe with God, with the teachers, to come in and to use them for yourself. So all we have to do, really, is just look in that spiritual toolbox and say, okay, what is it that I want to work on this time? Don't judge it. Just whatever you feel and go, okay, I want to do this one. And then you sit down and you do it when whatever comes about it and whatever you learn about yourself, because that's what this journey is about, to know thyself. It really is. And that's all that matters. The other one is psychometry, to hold an object and to you get the impression off it, the vibrations off it, where it's been and so forth and all that. I used to love doing that one. I would go antique shopping with my son because I loved to go to the old stores and all that. And when I was looking for a table, and we would have fun with that by putting our hands on the different furniture, seeing where it came from, the history of it, the people, and all this fun stuff. And then it used to embarrass my son because we'd be in Costco or someplace and they have a table, put the hand on the table, and the table would start walking in Costco. My son turned around and walked away. He says, Dad, I don't know why you got to do that to me. But just... clairaudience, clear hearing that we have. You don't hear with the outer, with the inner, or the outer ears. You hear with the inner ears once again. And a lot of times, I guarantee you, you're getting the messages from Spirit. Just need to trust and to know that you are getting it. You are receiving it. And all you have to do is listen. My grandfather used to do healings with me. And he'd come up and start with the ears and all that. One time, I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting all that gunk out of your ears so you can hear. These teachers are absolutely wonderful. Clairsentience, one of the hardest ones to distinguish, actually, because this is with feelings and emotions. And sometimes they can be overwhelming, especially when they come in with the abilities and you're getting the readings or the messages and you're feeling it on a very deep level. That's when the tears come and start, you know, flowing. I had that happen once. I was going, what is going on? Because I'm not one to have tears, especially in public, going, tears coming down. Oh, my God, what's happening here? That was the teacher stepping in. That's why, you ever been in a room or you get ready to go and you go out and you're feeling really good, then all of a sudden you get into the room and all that and you're going, you know, I'm not feeling so good. I don't know what happened. I was feeling really good there a second ago. You tapped into someone else's energy. That's why it's always to know thyself. So when those energies come in, you can say, that's not mine. I don't claim it. I don't want it. Go back to wherever you came from, whatever person. And you can see that energy. You can follow it as it's going back to that person. But to know thyself. And where are you feeling that energy at when it does hit? That opens up a lot of different doors too. Tibetan monks believe there's over 10,000 meridians, energy points in the body. So I get a kick out of it. They come up with, 13, 14 chakras, 77 feet up, 3 inches or something. They actually got people to do that. But you come in and you look at that and open up to it with the meridians because you got the energy points all over the body. A lot of times you can get away with the energies and you don't even know where the meridians are. You can press on that and actually move it and to release it. If you can find a book on meridians, I would guarantee, I would suggest getting it, reading it, look at it. Mediumship development. What are the laws of the universe and the exam of all different aspects of mediumship in a safe and protected setting? Class format will include meditation, instruction, class discussion, hands-on practice. Learn about your guides, your teachers, and the roles they play in your life. Discover the different stages. I've been doing this a lot of years, and this is what I've seen with different stages that people go through. And they got it broken down to 4 stages, actually. The first stage is the person becomes an investigator and searches for the proof in order to remove doubt, skepticism. This is a stage of great questioning and where one becomes either easily deterred, thank you. Must have seen it. Or a sincere seeker of the truth. They're going through their reading, their action, they're opening up, and they're getting excited about all the newness that they're finding out about themselves, finding out the universe, God, stepping into that energy. The second stage is the person becomes very eager to learn. This period usually lasts approximately 6 to 12 months. During this time, the newcomer is filled with excitement, enthusiasm, and desires to share his or her newfound knowledge with everyone. Here the person is positive that every sign and every little breeze or sound are the result of spirit manifestation. These people sometimes force their messages upon friends, family, co-workers, which may or may not be welcome. They can disturb their friends' happy lives by relaying all types of unwanted messages, often to the extent of the damage to cause of the psychic science. When people get into the second stage, they're starting to get the information, and they're so excited to share it. But there's one important word, discernment. Not everything you get, you're supposed to give. Very important word. They go through and they may tell, like, friends, you know, your partner's cheating on you or doing whatever because they're getting this impression and they don't know what the heck they're getting, but they're just excited to give and they don't even think about the other person, their feelings. They just go, how great thou is. Discernment, very important. And then the third stage, having successfully survived the second stage, because that second stage can be a real bear, it was for me, you start to realize that there is something more to mediumship than just talking with spirit and giving messages. They begin studying every free moment they have. Many think they have lost the time in their development. This is not true, because everything happens in divine timing. Nothing is ever lost. That's like people tell you that you go on and... I know, time's coming up there.
Time's up.
Time's up already? Went too long. Got talking too much. Anyway, I won't go through. Just kind of go real quick with this. I won't read what I got on it. But the inner band is your inner circle that you got with people. You have your master teacher. You have your protector, your big Indian usually. You have your doctor of philosophy. You have your chemist doctor, your teacher, healing teacher, joy guide. They're always fun to have. Doorkeeper and message bearer. Your outer band is ones that come in and help you with certain things. They don't hang around, and they just come and help you with something, and then they head off and do whatever they got. Then you got your universal teacher, St. Francis. I want to say Chief Fallen Leaf, too. But you have these universal teachers that come in and work on a universal energy. But they also come in and work with you on different levels, too. But they work on the greater picture of it. And one last one. And I'm done. I'm out of here. I know. Is a collective God bush. And I printed up one for everyone. And this is, I like the rose bush because when the rose bush goes away, it comes back even stronger and smells even nicer. What we have on here is your foundation on what's going on. It's like the love of oneself. And you look at all these, and then on this side here is all the human characteristics. Over here is the spiritual and God. And each one of these is what you're working for over here, from the physical to the spiritual. And what I used to do with this one, I would hang it up on the refrigerator, and I would look at it, and I would pick one thing each day, and then that's the one thing I would work on. I work on with the physical, what's coming in with that thought pattern, and I would change that over to the spiritual. And so these will be over there if you'd like to grab one. Went too long. Okay, I'm done. Thank you so much.